finishing chapter 10. We go to chapter number 11, and we're now looking at some things here in your notes. So look at number 1 and verse 1 of chapter 11. Let me read it out loud, and then we'll look at what the notes say. It says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod." Now, this reed that was given to John, like unto a rod, I understand that these grow near the Jordan River. I went to the Jordan River. I walked in the Jordan River, and these reeds grew all around the Jordan River. They were about 10 foot long, 10 foot high. And if you take these reeds, they could be used to measure things. But they're about 10 foot. So John is being told here in the Revelation 11, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." So he is being told to measure the temple of God and those that worship therein. Now, as I think about this, the temple of God and those that worship therein, a lot of people try to spiritualize prophecy. And they're talking about the last days, and especially these last 7 years, and they spiritualize it. Who do a lot of people say the temple of God refers to today? Anybody know? Patty. A believer. And the church. And metaphorically speaking, you know, the believer, our body is a temple. We know that. And metaphorically speaking, 1 Corinthians 3 says that the church, ye plural, are the temple of God. But historically speaking, and literally, and grammatically, which is how we interpret Scripture, it's called hermeneutics, literal, historical, grammatical, and contextual. I was taught that. Drilled into my head. That's how we interpret Scripture. And so if the literal interpretation of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense, Cooper said. And so in this context, is the temple, the altar, a 10-foot measuring rod to measure that? Does that sound like a literal temple and literal place, or is that spiritual? It's literal.
You're measuring the people, too.
Yeah. The people, too, in addition to the altar and the temple. So, yeah, that proves it's literal, and he's right. And there are other places like this. So we have to assume, based on this scripture, and 2 Thessalonians 2, for example, you read that what about the temple? In Jerusalem, that was destroyed in AD 70, was it not, by the Romans? And we don't have a temple there. I went there, and there's a Muslim abomination up there called the Mosque of Omar. And it's up there right now. And when the Jews took Jerusalem and the Temple Mount in AD 1967, Shlomo Goren was the chief rabbi. And he told his men there to destroy, to blow up the Mosque of Omar, blow up that, so that we can rebuild the temple. And his guy wouldn't do it. He was afraid. And Moshe Dayan, the great hero of the Six-Day War, the guy that wore that patch, 67, Six-Day War, he wore that patch, Moshe Dayan, He was afraid. He was afraid to destroy it. And so they gave it over to the Wafq, which is the Islamic religion, to oversee it. And it's still being overseen, though it's owned by Israel, it's overseen by the Muslims. And you know why it's overseen by the Muslims? Because they're afraid of a jihad. And they don't want to have a jihad. Now, I personally believe that we're going to have another war in the Middle East like we had in 67, like we had in 73 with the Yom Kippur War. And that war is going to be with the Arab nations, the Islamic nations that are right around Israel, and they're going to try to finally, once for all, get rid of Israel. And that's prophesied. Does anybody know what chapter of the Bible that's prophesied? Psalm what? 83. Psalm 83. And that may be triggered by another war that's involved with Iran, and that's prophesied in Jeremiah what? Anybody know the chapter?
I'm going to say 49.
You're right. Good for you. Good for you. 49. And that war will be an air attack on Iran, and that may also involve a ground assault on Israel, and Israel will win that war, and that will expand their territory so that they will take over the Middle East all the way from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River, which is the original promised land. They will take it all over. They will control it all. And there's a book by Bill Salas called Israelistein that talks about that. That's my personal belief, that that is going to happen. And when you look at the Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38 and 39, it lends toward that happening. That has not happened yet. I believe also that the Mosque of Omar will be blown up in that war, and that Israel will rebuild their temple. Now, whether that's right or not, I believe it is right based on Psalm 83, Jeremiah 49, but whether that's right or not, very clearly based on Revelation 11, the temple is going to be what? Rebuilt. And that will prepare for the last 7 years, because the last 7 years is Israel in unbelief. They haven't accepted the Messiah, but they're still the elect people of God. Israel in unbelief is worshiping God under the law of Moses. Right now, they're not able to worship God under the law of Moses, are they? Because they don't have their sacrifices. They don't have their temple. So how can you do it? Part of the Mosaic law given on Sinai, you've got to have a tabernacle or a temple. You got to have a priesthood. You got to have it all. Now, they know who the priests are. They have the DNA studies. They know the Kohen, the Kohenite and all that.
Did you see the big menorah they have down by the Wailing Wall?
Oh, big menorah?
Yeah, mine's there.
Oh, cool. Cool. I didn't see that.
It's like as tall as me, a little bigger.
Really, really gigantic. Yeah, and this is all going to be restored. They have the what you call it, the clothing of the priest. You know, they have, like he just said, they have different parts that are going to be in the temple, like the candlestick or the menorah that will be in the holy place. They're doing all of this, and they're waiting for it to happen. It should have happened in 67, but God delayed it. And we're ready for the end times very soon, but God can delay it. So you say, Pastor, when is the 7 years going to start? It could be very shortly. Could be 10 years. Could be 20 years. Could be 100 years. I don't think it'd be much beyond that, because we're living in the last days since 1948, since Israel. Now, if you think it's got to be in your lifetime, you don't know. I don't know. Huh? Well, this generation, that's a whole thing. I'll have to talk about that. Yeah, the generation means the stock or the Israeli country. I used to think it was that, but I can prove to you that that's not going to work. But so I don't have the time. When I was younger, I was sure it was going to be, you know, but I'm older now, wiser. So I don't know the timing of this beginning, but I know when it begins, I will know. But God could delay it so we could get the gospel out in what we're doing now. Now, the gospel will still go out here, because even during the Great Tribulation, the gospel is going to be preached all over the world, you know, one more time. So that the gospel is going to go out. But I'm talking about in peace and safety, getting the gospel out. But we're watching, and And when the temple is rebuilt and the sacrifices are instituted, we're getting very close now to the end. And what starts the last 7 years of Israel's chastening under the law, predicted in Daniel 9, and that will be a confirming of the Mosaic covenant by the beast over the revived Roman Empire and the Jewish Antichrist, and they will agree together, and that will give Israel 7 years to do their temple worship with no interference from the world government. We won't interfere you. We won't have you hit, you get to do it. And Israel will give up its sovereignty to the world government and say, now we're part of the world government and part of the revived Roman Empire or the European Union. And that will kick off the last 7 years. That's Isaiah 28, 15 and 18 and Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And all of that will happen. Now, okay, so in Revelation 11, 1, where we are now, John is measuring this temple and the altar and the people. So it tells me, since that all is happening at the beginning of the 7 years, that Revelation 11, 1 is part of this 7 year worship, and he's measuring the worship that's going to be taking place during this last 7 years of history. Could there be temple worship before the 7 years? You know, could the temple be rebuilt before the 7 years? Somebody weigh in on that. Could it be rebuilt before the 7 years? Anybody have a thought on it? Nobody wants to do it. Andy?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Because it is the confirming of the covenant by the beast and the Antichrist that starts the 7 years, and Israel gives up its sovereignty. But Israel could be doing this on their own before the 7 years. I'm just not sure. It's the right to say that. But we're watching for that temple to be rebuilt. That's something we can be watching for. It's going to definitely precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir.
I have a question. Is this new temple going to be built on the spot where the original one was?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's not just the original one. There has been one, two, and the second one was expanded by Herod. One built by Solomon, the second one built by Zerubbabel and by, you know, Joshua the high priest in the return from Babylonian captivity, and then expanded in 536 AD, by the way, finished in 516 AD, the second one, and it was expanded by Herod, took him about 60 years, about the time of Christ. That was the second. The third temple will be the one we're talking about, and the third temple will be rebuilt just like the others in the same spot. And it will have the Jewish worship. There will be a fourth temple. And the fourth temple will be, I believe, the heavenly temple during the restoration period, moved from the New Jerusalem onto the elevated Mount Zion. Four temples, totally. Okay? So, but we are looking at a measurement of this third temple and the worship that will go on there. May I someday be able to see that third temple and go over there like I've seen the Muslim mosque? Maybe. Maybe. But I want you to notice something here. Something's going to happen to that worship of the third temple. Look at verse 1 again. And look at the first note that you have there. It says in Revelation 11, 1, a reed, a measuring rod, which came from reeds. And that word rod is what goes in there. And it says, rise and measure. But then look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under 42 months. Now, we're going beyond the beginning of the 7 years to the middle of the 7 years. Because the Bible says something is going to happen to the temple worship for the last 1,260 days. You see, the 7 years is divided into two periods. The first part is 3.5 years, which is 42 months, and the second part is 3.5 years, or 42 months. But it's also, the first part is 1,260 days, and the second part is 1,260 days. So for 1,260 days, the Gentiles are going to be all over Jerusalem and will be marching all over the outside of the temple. And we know the inside of the temple is going to be different too. It's not going to have troops there. They'll still be, quote, worshiping there. But it will be different during the second 3.5 years and that these troops are here. Now, what are these troops? Well, these troops are coming from the revived Roman Empire. They're coming from the beast. Well, I thought you said the beast agreed that the Jews could worship for 7 years. Why is it cut? Why is it cut short here? Why in the middle of the 7 years are there troops coming from the beast now to occupy? Well, you have to keep in mind the beast is not per se breaking his covenant of sovereignty with Israel. Remember, Israel said, we're giving up our sovereignty. We're part of you. And Daniel 11 says that just before the halfway point of the 7 years, there's going to be trouble in the north and trouble in the south, and there's going to be an invasion of Israel and Jerusalem. And that invasion doesn't say who it's from, but I believe it's going to be from Islamic people that once again are going to be upset. They're all going to be together. Syria and Egypt and Israel are all going to be part of the one world government. They're all going to be part of the revived Roman Empire. But they're going to get upset at the Jewish worship. They can't take it anymore. They've watched it for 3.5 years. They can't take it. Why? Why do you think they'd be upset? Why are angry? Yeah.
Sacrifices.
Well, sacrifices, and especially Jewish sacrifices. No Mosque of Omar there, no Islam there. We're sick of it, but we're all supposed to be at peace, you know, in prosperity, living in the Roman Empire, and they will be in the European Union. But they're going to invade Israel. Well, the beast isn't going to put up with that. That's part of my empire. They're having some religious war in my empire. It's not going to happen. So he goes in there, and I believe the Jewish Antichrist will flee to Rome and Europe, and then he'll take the army and lead the army back in. The Bible says he'll wipe out Syria, king of the north, it says. He'll go and attack and go all the way to Egypt, and he will set up his throne right in the middle of the 70th week, right in Jerusalem, and then an image of the beast will be put where? Where will it be put? Yes.
In the temple.
In the Holy of Holies of the temple. And that is called by Daniel the prophet, by Jesus, an abomination which makes desolate. Because at that time, when that abomination is set up there, then the Bible says, to the people that aren't willing to go along with it, you run, you hide. Jewish people, you hide. And you get out of Jerusalem. If you're in Jerusalem, get out of there. Because that is going to kick off the greatest persecution in the history of the world of God's people. And so they're going to run and hide. Even the Jews in unbelief that don't take the that aren't willing to worship the image of the beast and therefore won't take the mark of the beast, they're going to have to run and hide in places like southern Jordan, and they're going to run away from Jerusalem because that will be the center of this great persecution that will take place. But it will spread, according to Revelation 13, worldwide, and you won't be able to buy or sell without taking the mark of the beast. That's exactly what the world is trying to push right now, a central bank digital currency called CBDC. You will see that. Why are they going to try to hold up your Social Security, I believe? Because, well, I know they're paying illegals and putting them on 5-star hotels and all this stuff. They're letting millions come across the border right now. Did you know that? And they're going to crash the system. They want to crash our economy because they want to put us under a central bank digital currency and make all other currencies illegal. That's what they want to do. And Biden's already outlined it in the executive order. It's already ready to go in there. But that's illegal in itself. It's unconstitutional. That's why we need Trump back, and we need him back yesterday.
You know, persecution is starting from the Jews. It's already started. My sister-in-law said she was going to change her name back to Epstein.
Yep.
She went through a divorce. She said that's not a good time to have a name like that. There's another guy I met in Israel. I think it was someplace by Ireland. I forget one of those countries over there. And he said, if he wore a shirt with the Star of David, I'd be confronted right in the face. And he said, that would be the least that would happen to me.
Yeah. So anti-Semitism is coming back. And that's satanic. It's not racial. It's satanic because Satan knows that when the Jews believe on the Lord, the kingdom is coming. If you believe on the Lord, that's not quite as bad as Satan. But if a Jew believes on the Lord, that's bad, because when all Israel gets saved, then the kingdom comes to earth and he's reigning over the earth. And this is a war that's going on. So yeah, and it's all going to come to a head when the beast invades and tries to stop this religious war. And he's going to say, enough religious war. We're fighting over religion. There's only going to be one religion, and that's the worship of man. That man, 666, made on the sixth day, is the most highly evolved being. And so he is going to be worshipped as the most highly evolved man. And the image of the beast will be set up in the temple. So when John is measuring this temple worship, this is all something you need to take into account. And you need to take into account that Israel hasn't yet accepted the Messiah, so they still have to be chastened until the end of the 7 years, and that involves the Roman army, the revived Roman Empire, which is the European Union. Make no mistake about it, it's not the Muslims, it's the European Union. And they're going to stop the Muslims and stop the Jews and make them all worship a man. And that man will be from Japheth, who's going to be an Aryan man. And that man will come in there and take over it all. And we won't talk about who that man is yet. We'll do that later. But anyway, that's all involved there. So that's all we'll say about that. Now, let's go forward from there. In number 3, look at number 3, in verse number 3, it says in Revelation 11:3, the time of the ministry by the two witnesses is given as 3.5 years. All right, so let's look at Revelation 11:3. You follow, he says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 or 60 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, here are two witnesses, and God is going to empower them. And in typology, they go back to like Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, two lampstands that are going to be like two olive trees, and from the olive oil goes into the lampstands, and they're going to shine brightly for God and witness for God, but they're going to be clothed in sackcloth. Why do you think if they're going to prophesy for 1,260 days, would these witnesses be clothed in sackcloth? Why are they clothed in sackcloth? Anybody have a thought on that? Patty. Say that again. The nation to repent. Yeah. Israel to repent. Yeah. They're seeing the great tribulation. And they're seeing the Roman occupation. And they're seeing Israel go into world government. And now they get the result of, okay, you wanted to follow the globalists. Look at what's happening to Israel. And they're crying out for Israel to repent. And when Israel repents, the kingdom of God will come to earth when they accept the Messiah. Yeah.
That word power, is that authority or just power? Because I know the King James, they use the word power for.
Yeah, read it. Read it again.
And I will give power to my witnesses.
Yeah, it includes both here. It includes authority and backed by power, literal dunamis, you know, power of God. They're going to have both. Yeah, they're going to have both power and authority, and not just the power of the Holy Spirit to speak, but literally the power of miracles to bring judgment down on their enemies. In other words, when the beast tries to get them, he will obviously try to arrest them. They're right in Jerusalem. He's going to send in soldiers and everything. The Bible says fire is going to come out of their mouths and kill their enemies, just like Elijah when the king tried to get him and fire came out of his mouth and he killed 50 men.
The world's going to hate these people.
The whole world's going to hate them, and they're not going to be able to kill them. It's crazy. And we know who they are by the miracles. One is Elijah. Malachi says Elijah's coming back when? Before? When is Elijah coming back? Before what? The great and what?
Terrible
day of the Lord. So look, here's the day of the Lord. They're back here, right here.
3.5 years.
Yeah, so 3.5, they're here. The day of the Lord doesn't happen till partway through the 3.5 years. So they do it just like Malachi said, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Remember Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, some of you are going to see the kingdom of God. It's going to come. And what the kingdom of God? How's the kingdom of God going to come? Well, he took Peter, James, and John on the Mount Transfiguration. He was transfigured before them, and there was Moses and Elijah, because they're the ones that are going to announce the kingdom to Israel. And they're going to call for Israel to repent, Moses and Elijah, and they're going to do miracles. Now, their ministry is mainly to the nation of Israel. Now, if you're alive then, you'll see them. But they're mainly to the nation of Israel. And the miracles of the kingdom that they're going to do are meant to the Jews, because the Jews seek a sign. If they're going to believe on the Messiah, they have to have signs and wonders. And remember, just like Acts was transitional, this will be transitional. So these prophets are prophets of God. They will do signs and wonders and miracles. They will be happy. You will live to see that, perhaps, if you live that long, if you're here. I believe the church will see it because we're going to be raptured out before the great and terrible day of the Lord, but these guys will come before that, right in the middle here. And these miracles are taking place, and all these things are taking place. The beast is trying to kill them. And so keep this in mind. In Revelation 11, verse 3, that's what's happening. And you may see these guys on the news. I heard Trump did a town hall on CNN. That is hilarious. Because Trump, you see, he's anointed as the president. And he says things the globalists don't want. CNN is run by the globalists. By the way, you're living in the belly of the globalist beast right now. The United States is run by the globalists. We don't have a president that you elected. Just telling you, folks. We're run by the globalists, unless God delivers us. And so these guys will speak unpolitically correct, and they will be hated. You're right, Andy, they'll be hated, and they'll try to kill them, but they won't be able to kill them. It's great. And you notice they try to kill Trump. They've tried to do everything to kill him. But you know what? They still haven't stopped him. There's God's protecting that man. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, I see it. It's plain as the nose on your face. But some believers don't see it because they're dumb. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, God, thank God. You know, he opens people's eyes. Somebody had their hand up. Patty. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Very, very definitely. Patty's right. They're going to take it out on the church, and they're going to take it out on Jews or anybody that won't go along with the globalist worship. They have to worship the beast. And if you worship the beast, you get his mark. If you don't worship the beast, you don't get the mark, which means that you don't get your debit card. You don't get your medical card. You cannot buy or sell anything in their system. It has to be black market. It's the only way you could buy or sell, black market bartering. You don't do it. So yeah, they're going to take it out. But now keep in mind, I believe God's going to protect some of the church. The Philadelphian type church is going to be protected. The Bible gives that indication that the Philadelphian type church has God's protection. The Smyrna type church will be killed, and many believers will be killed, absolutely martyred. And some will hide, but it's going to be very hard to hide in this time because of the technology. And so all this is going on during this period of time. And other believers are witnessing because they're going to go throughout the whole world. The kingdom is imminent now. You know, it's coming. So believe on the Lord, and if you're in the church, you'll be raptured out. If you're not in the Lord, and you believe later, and you're a Jew, and you don't take the mark, you'll be saved later. Yeah.
The two witnesses, when will they come out and see after the rapture or before?
Before. But before the day of the Lord. So they'll come on the scene right in the middle because they're going to prophesy for how long? 1,260 days. So that means they're going to come here. Okay? So that's when they're going to come, and they're going to come on the scene. All right. So, and I believe it'll be Moses and Elijah. Elijah never died. He's coming back. Moses died. Well, people say, well, how can you die and come back? How did Lazarus die and come back? How did the widow's son of Nain die and be raised and then die again?
Moses' body preserved?
Yeah, it was kept by God, because remember in the book of Jude it says that Michael fought with Satan over the body of Moses. And I believe it's because it's coming back. And Satan wanted it because he may know that. He don't want Moses coming back. He was like, keep him dead. And see, when Moses died, he was 120 years old, but the Bible says his natural strength was not abated. When he comes back, I believe he's going to come back as a 120-year-old man. When Elijah died, he was older. I don't know how old, but he was taken up. He didn't die. And he'll come back as an older man. So these two guys will be back.
The law and the prophets.
Yes, the law and the prophets. That right. Moses represented the law, Elijah the prophets. Correct. That's exactly right. And they both witnessed for Christ. And they're witnessing to Israel as the law and the prophets to accept your Messiah. And it's all going to play out in Jerusalem, which will be the first part of the Great Tribulation. Then it will spread worldwide. So the hottest flames, like Marv says, Marv Rosenthal, of the Great Tribulation will begin in Jerusalem and then spread worldwide. You're getting to hear stuff right here in this church. This is historical. You are in a historical place. All right, let's go on with that. And we're almost out of time, but let's do number four. In your notes, in Revelation 11:4, the two witnesses are called two olive trees. I already mentioned that. And from them comes the oil, and that flows out into the menorah or the candlesticks. And they are Moses and Elijah. Number five, in Revelation 11:5-6, you have the far or the prophetic fulfillment, the far and final fulfillment of these two. All right, let's look at Revelation 11:5-6. It says, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So I just said fire's going to come out of their mouth, didn't I? And then it says, nobody's going to be able to hurt these guys. Trump is the same way. Not fire literal coming out. He's not a Jew, and this is not, but he's protected. He's protected. You say, do you think Donald Trump will be reinstated? Come tonight. Listen to my sermon tonight. Number six, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now we know in the middle of the 70th week, they're going to shut off the water. We know sometime during their prophecy, the wind is going to be shut down. And all of that. But we know that they're going to pour out plagues on the earth. Remember Moses? How he poured out plagues on the earth of Pharaoh? When do you think the plagues mainly will be poured out on the earth from these guys? When would you think? Yep.
During the Great Tribulation?
I would say mainly during the Day of the Lord wrath. Because keep in mind, they're going to be here through the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord wrath. And God will be using them, I believe, to pour out his Day of the Lord judgments as well as angels. But some of it could be during the Great Tribulation as well. But this is mainly a time of peace and safety for the world. So I would think it's going to be the Day of the Lord mainly, except for the water. This is going to happen under these individuals, and they're going to give the world trouble, man. The world is going to hate their guts, and they're going to give the world trouble, and all of this is playing out. That's Revelation 11, 5 and 6. Let's really go on here. Let's look at number 6, last one. In Revelation 11, 7, it speaks of a time immediately after they finished their prophetic ministry. Their ministry lasts 1,260 days. Thus, as soon as the 3.5 years of their ministry is complete, the beast is in the blank there, will then, and not until then, be allowed to kill them. So the beast will be allowed to kill them, but only after the end of the 7 years. And remember, that's just when Christ touches down. But Christ doesn't touch down in Jerusalem. What country does he touch down in? Yep.
Jordan,
to take the people out of hiding that have hid from the beast. So while Christ is touching down to do that and getting ready to march to Jerusalem, these guys are now allowed to be killed on the first day of the 30-day reclamation period. They're killed. And their bodies are lying in the street. And guess what? The whole world is going to be watching their bodies lie in the street. And how happy do you think they're going to be? They're going to be thrilled. They're going to think that the beast beat Jesus. They're going to think that the beast won out. And the day of the Lord's wrath is now being stopped, and they've won. But, oh, they're going to find out there's one more woe left. And that's the little scroll. We'll look at that stuff in the days to come, but let's just stop there. If you haven't accepted the Lord, accept him, serve him, trust him, not the government. Amen and amen. Trust God, not government. Yeah. Amen, Andy.
Today, Pastor, is here today?
Who?
Matthew.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's got the bus, don't he?
Yes, he does.
Right,
he's got you. He's got you covered. Just tell him.
Okay.
Yeah, he's here.
But anyway, I went to the wrong hospital.
Yeah.
And
great.
So it's like...
Hey, good to see you.
They're wild.
Yeah.
So it's like,
they're my buddies. These guys.
So they go, you're at the wrong one.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
So I was at the wrong one. I was supposed to go.